Hey guys, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast like I'm doing here? I used to have a radio show on the internet and I absolutely loved it. The downside was I had to pay to be the host. I had to pay a lot of money. I loved my show and I still had lots more to say. I just didn't want to pay so much to have conversations with you. That's when I found Anchor. I am so excited because Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, distributing, and monetizing my own podcast. Instead of me paying out a lot of money, I have the potential to get paid for using my voice and talking about what is important to me and hearing your stories. I love connecting with all of you, and Anchor has given my voice to you. So if you're ready to start your own podcast, go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. I can't wait to hear your podcast. Thanks for joining the Gay with God community. Namaste and welcome to Awakened Hearts. I'm your host, Midge Noble. It is my intention that you live a heart wide open, abundant, and joy-filled life. I believe that everyone is on earth to serve a sacred contract. I believe that we are all created to be compassionate, loving, and kind to ourselves and to all living souls. I believe that we can awaken our hearts and heal old wounds. I believe that we all have the power to transform our pain into our most authentic, spiritual, compassionate, and best selves. I believe we deserve to feel empowered, to speak up and set boundaries and be valued by those we love and respected by those we meet along our path. That is our journey here at Awakened Hearts, and you are welcome here. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Awakened Hearts. And this week it's all about gratitude. It is Thanksgiving week, and there are so many people who are talking about being grateful and having gratitude. And I love that. Actually, Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays because it has not been messed with by society as much as Christmas has been. It's now just a place to be hopefully grateful, to be surrounded by the people that you're around, that you love, that love you back. It's all about focusing on what we have. In this day and time, you know, when we look around and we see and hear so many people who are in need and so many people who are going through so many tough things, that we kind of get our ideas skewed about what gratitude really is. So we think about people who have, you know, lost their homes, who are fighting a terminal illness, who have emergencies, and sometimes we are grateful when things turn out okay, like this house is spared, so we're grateful for that. That person came through, you know, an emergency situation. That person, you know, has found recovery. We think about being grateful after the fact when things turn out okay. We feel sad when things don't feel okay, but a lot of times we forget that gratitude is not an if, and, or but. It is what it is. To be grateful means that I look at my life, my successes, my missteps, my U-turns, twists and turns, all of the things that make me me, all of the perfectly imperfect things about me. That's great to grateful. I'm trying to say that I have gratitude for those things too. I did not always have gratitude for the things that made me me. I can be a little bit impulsive. I jump in sometimes without thinking. I love that about me now. It used to get me into some sticky wickets, and it may still do that. But if I didn't get a little impulsive and jump in without, you know, planning everything out, I never would have had the Second Chances show that I've talked about on this podcast, where I met so many delightful, awesome people and told so many awesome stories. I never would have gone to college. I felt a yearning and I said, I'll do it. I didn't have the money, but I went and the money came. I was grateful for working two jobs while I was in college because it gave me a sense of accomplishment that I could do things on my own. It taught me a valuable lesson that yes, there are people that will be there to support you, but you have to have a leading position in your life in order to make things, you know, turn out the way you desire them to be. I have to find my voice. I'm grateful that I did that. You know, I'm grateful for the times that I didn't have a voice because it gave me a chance to feel that contrast of being passive, not getting my needs met. So that now when I'm not passive and I am assertive and I'm getting my needs met, I have gratitude for where I've come from and where I am today. So all of those things that happen to us as children, all of those things that happen to us as young adults, it's a journey of emerging. Michelle Obama's new book, Becoming, what an awesome title that is. And I loved her comment about why she wrote that title as Becoming, because she said, in every segment of my life, I am becoming the next phase of, you know, basically who she was going to be. So she went through a phase of just checking off boxes, she said, and you know, getting straight A's, getting into Princeton, you know, getting a law degree. She did all the things that were expected of her. But she's grateful for those times because then she was able to wake up and think, ooh, this is not my heart-centered job. This is not where I want to be. She doesn't regret any of the things that she chose to do, but she's grateful that she was able to wake up and start to chart the course of her own becoming and decide where it was going to go next. I love that concept, to be grateful for every place that we're at, because it leads us to the next place that we either want to be or need to be. I didn't understand all the twists and turns of my life. I kind of felt incompetent because, you know, I was here doing, you know, school counseling, and then I was at hospice, and then I was at mental health. And even though it wasn't my decision always to make that shift, other things happened around me that woke me up to a shift that needed to be made in my life and that there was something else for me to do. I'm grateful that I could listen to the yearnings of my soul and know that it was time to go and make that step. Similar to what's happened with the Empowering Awakened Hearts business that I've created. And I am so excited about beginning the journey. It already is, and it will continue to become more of what I desire it to be. And I am grateful for that journey of not knowing that it was coming, knowing that I had desired something a little bit more than what I'm able to do here in the business that I'm currently working at. But yet, I'm grateful that there has been struggle that got me to a place where I could open my eyes and say, what if? What if there was more? What if there was another venue, another way, another place for me to serve? What if? And then all of the struggles I've been through culminated in the emergence of something new, and I am grateful for that. Gratitude in the moment of despair is probably one of the hardest things that we can pull off, because when you know, for example, when my dogs are sick, you know, when we struggle with some sort of a health issue with our kids, our fur babies, you know, it is very difficult to reach into your soul and get past the fear, get past the overwhelmment, get past all of the stuff that comes up in our earthly, you know, feelings, and find that gratitude, because we're scared. And, you know, I love the quote, and I can't remember who said it. I know Wayne Dyer had said it, but it could have been Rumi he was quoting. But if anybody knows, please write in and let me know. But the quote is, fear opened the door and love made it disappear. So that when we stand in a place of love for ourselves, through all of the stuff that we go through, fear has to leave. When we open the door to loving ourselves in the moment of our meanness, I'm being me, I might be laughing too loud, I might be being impulsive, I might be not, you know, that great at math. I'm being me. And can I be grateful for my life, my body, my heart, my soul, my choices, even when I'm standing in fear? So if I don't want fear to win, I have to open the door to love. Love for myself. Be grateful for the uniqueness of who I am. There's only one me. I tell people all the time, they try to put an S on the back of my name, Midge Nobles. And I say, girl, there's only one of me. And I don't mean that disparagingly. There is really only one of me. I have heard that I have like a look-alike around town. Kelly Ashley, if you're listening, I know that we got mistaken for each other often when we worked at the same school. We both had light blonde hair and, you know, light skin, and kids would just call us each other's names, and we just kind of went with it. It's like, okay, fine. So, but there is really only one of me. And I feel really good about that now in this phase of my life, that I am a unique person. I have my own way of doing things. There are many, you know, counselors out there. There are many coaches out there. There are many people who do the same type of jobs. But my way of doing it is my soul coming through to serve at my heart's delight. And I am the only one that can do it my way. I take things from other people. I learn all the time. I said before, I'm just such a sponge, and I love to bring in all new information, and I assimilate it, and I love to share it. I love to share, you know, the works of Wayne Dyer and Abraham Hicks. I just love to share the things that I know that are powerful and that are working for me, and I love to share it. But even though I'm sharing other things, you know, Wayne Dyer did the same thing. You know, he took the Tao and created that awesome book, Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life, which actually saved my life. And, basically he was taking words that had already been written, but he was putting his own spin on it and giving us a representation of what that could mean, you know, an interpretation. And then we get to choose also for ourselves if that resonates with us. But in doing that, he opened up the Tao to me, which was awesome. And it made so much sense. And, you know, Wayne Dyer always made so much sense to me. And I still love reading his work and going back and using some of his quotes, you know, on my Facebook page, because he is just such an awesome teacher for me. So gratitude is not just, you know, because everything's good and we have a full table at Thanksgiving. You know, I remember when at Christmas time, my wife and I decorated a corn plant for a Christmas tree. We were living in a small home. We didn't have room for a Christmas tree, and we weren't planning to put the money into one because we would probably be with our families, you know, over that season anyway. So, there was a corn plant that actually was just sitting on the floor, and I got some lights and I strung it around there and I said, here's our tree. And I loved it. You know, I was grateful that we had, you know, festivity in the house. I didn't need a tree. I love trees. I love the live trees. One year we planted one out in the backyard. We got the tree with the big, you know, ball on the bottom so you could plant it. And we did, and we had that tree for many years. And then, I don't know what happened. It decided to go But that was such a great experience to bring life into the home and then replant life. I loved that idea. It's hard to do though. That big old ball is heavy, and when it gets wet, it's even heavier. And it was hard to get it off the deck. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the times where, you know, I didn't have a lot of money. I'm grateful for the times when I lived in a very, very small place. For times that I had to figure out things on my own. I'm grateful for, you know, illnesses that I've had that made me be more awake and aware of the present moment. I'm grateful for people who were there to lend a hand and love me through it. You know, I'm grateful for the times that I would, what society might say, fail miserably. And because looking back now, I can see that that wasn't a failure. It was a lesson, and it was also an opportunity for me to be able to start to learn to love myself, even if things didn't turn out in the perfect way that I thought that it would, or even the way that I thought that I wanted it to. You know, I wanted to live in New England forever. I just loved it up there, and that's where I planned, after going to college, that's where I planned to stay. And it just didn't work out. And it just broke my heart to come back to North Carolina. Not that I'm not saying anything bad about our state necessarily, but I love mountains. I love New England. I love the colors up there in the fall. It was just also new and brilliant to me. And that was a place that I felt passionate about. Coming back to North Carolina, to me, felt like a failure that I didn't go and make it where I wanted to make it. However, when things transpired over the next year, and I was able to meet this delightful little boy, you know, with the hair that never had a comb go through it, and he ran everywhere in the classroom, and I was doing a substitute teaching pregnancy leave position for the original teacher, and he was the inspiration for me to go back to graduate school. And in graduate school is where I met my future wife. Had I stayed in New England, would we have found each other? Possibly. If we're meant to be together, I'm sure that our stars would have aligned and we would have found each other. I feel like we've found each other before. We're such kindred spirits, and I do feel so comfortable with her. It's like I had known her for forever, and possibly I have. But I would never have met her at that moment. When you think about it, if it is what it is and nothing else, you know, comes together to make it happen, if I'd stayed in New England and she was here, we may never have crossed paths. And oh my gosh, what a sad life that would have been, possibly. I do believe that we can have, you know, love in our life in different forms and different ways. And so it may not be just the one person you fall in love with. I know of many dear friends who have been able to experience love more than once on a deep level. So I might have met somebody else. She might have met someone else. But I'm also grateful that we didn't, and that we've had, you know, such an awesome run so far. And for as long as we're going to be able to do it, I'm just so grateful. So I want us to remember that gratitude is a state of mind, that it's not just something that we talk about. It's something that we have to inherently possess within us. We get to choose to be grateful or nitpicky. You know, we get to choose whether to stay in a state of negativity or embrace the positivity of what's around us. Yesterday in a session, and I've probably done this before. Well, I know I've done this before. I don't remember if I've talked about it before, but I had one of the kids came in just such a negative place. And so I had my client draw a circle on a big whiteboard and talk about the thing that had happened that day at school that just derailed the whole day for this kid. Just worst attitude, couldn't get past it. It was something that was, you know, physically hurtful. So I know that it wasn't something that we would have wanted to have happen, but it was the thing that happened that just derailed this kid's whole day. And so got the dot drawn on the whiteboard. And then I started around the dot, having this child come up with other things in the whole day that was better, which was a struggle. And so I had to assist. And things like, I got out of bed. I'm still breathing. I did have food today. I did get to play outside. Just the basics of life, okay? And tried to make the point that all of these things that were around the whiteboard, surrounding this dot, that can be focused on too. So when we go through horrible things, if we have an attitude of gratitude already, you know, practiced and hotwired and within us, then when something negative or perceivingly negative happens, then we can surround that with all of the other focus of what's going right and send that one thing love and ask, what are you here to teach me? What am I here to learn? What opportunity can this give me? How can I make this, you know, less painful and use it for the betterment of myself and other people? That's when you're in an attitude of gratitude. That's when you're climbing that emotional guidance system scale that Abraham Hicks talks about. And you go from, you know, discouragement, you know, up to being, you know, hopeful again. And you take things from, instead of staying angry about it, you know, you bring some other kind of feelings into your world so that you can then move up to feeling content, knowing that even though it's not what you wanted, it's going to be okay. I love to say my life is always working out for me. That's one of my favorite mantras, because even if I don't know it, even if I can't see it, my life is always working out for me. There is a purpose for everything that happens in my life. And I can kick and scream with the best of y'all and feel overwhelmed and stressed. And that's when I know I'm out of alignment. So if I'm not being grateful, if I'm not having a positive thought about how this might turn out, or even if I don't have a thought at all of how it's going to turn out, to go back to my mantra, my life is always working out for me, you know, especially if I don't know how to figure it out, that's when my life really is working out for me, because I'm clueless as to how to fix this or how to move forward. So I just have to back up and say, you know, I am safe in the universe and my life loves and supports me, and I will find a way. I will find a way, because I am a part of divinity. There's a piece of divinity in me that can guide me every time I touch my heart and I ask, what's my next step? Bring me something that lets me know what I need to do next. Show me. I'm listening. I'm here. You know, when I really am stuck and I don't know what to do, when I gift myself with silence, and I am so grateful for finding meditation, you just don't know how grateful I am for that. And I just put my hand on my heart and I take that deep breath and I bow down and I say, I'm listening. Here is what I need to know. And yeah, like I've said before, it's not the burning bush for me. I don't get voices calling down in a choir-like form, but I'm always guided somehow, some way. I'm either guided through a phone call that comes in, a book that I pick up, a person that I meet online. You know, I've told you before, you know, meeting my coach was the most awesome thing, because her name had come up several times with another friend that I have that's dear to us. And he had mentioned several times that this person is awesome and we should get together. But, you know, life happens and you just don't follow up on stuff. And then he put me in a group, Manifesting Mavens. And guess who runs the group? This dear, awesome soul. And then Jess came into my life, and it has been wonderful being coached by her and getting insights from her and support from her. So grateful am I for her support in the last 3 months. And I give her the kudos to find in me the thing that had kind of gotten lost there for the last year over, you know, through all the stress and overwhelmment and the uncertainties. And she was the light. And I was ready. I was ready to take advantage of that and to take the next step that was revealed to me. Did I know that was coming? Was I prepared for that? No, I had thought about, you know, getting a coach, but had no idea that things would evolve the way they evolved. I wasn't ready until she presented herself, and I saw it, and it was like, this is the direction I need to go. So gratitude is about staying open to the possibilities of what we can look for in the caca of our life. Things are going to happen. You know, we're going to have devastating moments in our lives. Some of us and some of you, we have had devastating things happen in our lives, but we are still here. That's the question I'm actually going to ask my class tonight when I talk with them, is I'm going to say, why are you still here? What kept you going through the really bad stuff? If I awaken my heart to the question of, why am I still here? Why didn't I quit? How come I kept going forward when things were pushing me back, it seemed, or the path wasn't clear, or I couldn't seem to get over that one hurdle that kept showing itself to me? And as we all know, when things keep showing themselves to you, it's because you haven't healed it, or you haven't learned to live with it or be grateful for it. It's going to keep coming to you until you make peace with it. So that's why forgiveness is so cool, because we can release ourselves from the connection to whatever is not bringing us peace. If it's bringing us resentment and anger or rage or worry, release that thing. Forgive yourself, forgive whoever, forgive everything, and just release yourself from that so that you can be free to move forward. So Thanksgiving is not a one day. And that's what I keep trying to tell people. You know, if we can't get together on that day, that means that it's not done. You know, Thanksgiving is a state of mind for me. I can celebrate Thanksgiving every day. So whether or not I have tofurkey or my roasted roots, you know, or not, I'm still being grateful. I don't mind picking a day, and we can have it, but it doesn't always have to be the day that everybody agrees that it's on. And I feel the same way about, you know, the spirit of Christmas, that's all about, you know, gifting to others. Oh, we got 300 however many days there are in a year. I'm horrible with numbers, right? But but you don't have to worry about, you know, just giving on that one day and meeting society's expectations and you know, keeping up with all the kids who are getting everything and don't have to work for it. You know, you get to give all through the year. Just get on Facebook, and there's donate buttons all over the place. I mean, there's so many cool things that people are doing and giving us the opportunity to choose to give. I don't see them as a bad thing. I think it's an amazing thing. And I welcome more abundance so that I can hit more buttons. So, you know, being grateful is a state of mind and an inner gift that we choose to give ourselves and others. Generosity is a daily event. How can I serve? What can I give? When I'm feeling grateful, then I can give to others, and then they feel grateful. So, you know, gratitude and generosity are like twin sisters or something. One can't usually go without the other, because when you see something happen that's positive, an act of kindness or generosity, it inspires us to do something for others too. So it's like this chain event where we just start and we just can put it out there to the world, and the world picks it up and runs with it. So if you're in a space where you feel like there's nothing left to be happy about, or you feel like, you know, why am I here? Or, you know, being kind of in that state of just feeling down, depressed, discouraged, it's time to give. It's time to give, because if you can't feel grateful for the place that you're in right now, go serve at a soup kitchen. Go to the children's hospital and serve in any capacity. If you're a magician, if you're, you know, whatever, if you like to dress up like an animal or whatever, you know, go serve somebody. And when you're giving of your heart to someone else who's in deep need, you're going to find your gratitude again. You might not start out being grateful, but when you become generous and you give of yourself or you give of your money, then you start to feel grateful again because you've released that negative emotion and you've brought back in love. Love is so powerful. It is like the most powerful emotion that there is. On that emotional guidance scale from Abraham Hicks, the very top rung of that emotional scale is joy, appreciation, empowered freedom, and love. That's where we're headed. When we continue to move through all of the negativity of our lives that show up to teach us and give us opportunities, but we don't like to live there, as we continue up that scale, we are heading toward joy, appreciation, empowered freedom, and love. And that's something to be grateful for. So I am grateful for this podcast. I am grateful that I have people who love listening to it. I have people that tell me that they like the things that I say, and I thank you so very, very much. And continue to send me messages. You know, download the Anchor Message app so that you can upload messages to me, or you can connect with me on Facebook. I'm on Messenger. I'm on Instagram. Still, I'm working on figuring out Instagram. You know, I am 59. I'm gifting myself time to blend in with the technology. But I want you to know that on this week of Thanksgiving, we may choose to celebrate it on a specific day. But please consider that you awaken your heart to hold gratitude in your heart space every day and be open to being grateful for the things that don't go your way, so that you can then empower yourself to find out what that lesson was there for. I love having this moment with you, and I thank you so much for being a part of Awakened Hearts. I hope that you have a wonderful time with your family or on a hike by yourself, however you want to choose to be grateful in your life is your journey. You have a right to do it any way that feels right to you. So I am grateful. I am thankful, so thankful that we have this time together. And I hope you peace and understanding that your journey is a divine path. And I hope that you continue to find yours. So have a nice day. Enjoy yourself. And I'll see you again on Awakened Hearts.